begin our first session by asking, who are you? And you can, I'm not going to go over that, but it's important for us to have our identity clear in the Lord. Secondly, what are you looking at? Behold the Lamb of God. So in the, you have to keep that focused continuously. What you're looking at will define how your life turns out. So it says in 2 Corinthians 3, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed from glory to glory. So what are you beholding? So number one, who are you? And all of this is defined by Scripture and by the Holy Spirit. It's being under the anointing of the Holy Spirit that helps you. Otherwise, all of these things are just right there. They just sit there. And you can legally confess it all you want, but it doesn't mean that much. That's why it's important. John the Baptist said of Jesus, I baptize in water, but he, there is one coming whose sandals I'm not worthy to loose, who will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. So it's the Holy Jesus, through his shed blood then, makes available to us the Holy Spirit and fire. Well, 40 years ago, we came into the charismatic revival. So what happened in Israel, on one hand, at the Yom Kippur, there was something significant that often happens in Israel at that same time among God's believing community in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we experienced something amazing and unique. Well, you're now about to come into a new season. The 40-year cycle is over. And something major and prophetic is happening that'll shake the nations. And we are at a crucial stage. Therefore, we, the believing army of God, the believing church of Jesus Christ, must take our place. Therefore, it's important for you to know individually, who are you? You are a child of God. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. You have, therefore, you have priestly authority. You have a kingly authority. What is that meant for? We are corporately then represent the kingdom of God. We are a royal priesthood and the holy nation. So the holy nation is more supreme, has the authority over all other kingdom representations. Every nation must bow to the name of Jesus Christ. So every tribe, every knee has to bow to Jesus. We are the representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'd said last night, then once we come into our identity, like the Exodus, book of Exodus, they were no longer, the devil tells you, you are a slave. You are in the, he wants to keep you and our children in the kingdom of darkness. But through the blood of Jesus, we are transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Your identity changes, therefore, through this amazing virtue of the shed blood of Jesus. So eternally, we will be saying, worthy is the Lamb of God. And we never get tired. Therefore, for some, we have it's a burden for us to come sometimes, even regularly, to church on Sundays. It's too much for people who have been touched more defined by culture than by the Word of God and by Holy Spirit and fire. When the fire comes, it makes you where you don't want to get away from the things of God. When Azusa hit, they were there every night. They even barely begrudged going to the bathroom. I mean, they wanted to be what God was up to, something. So that's part of the effect of being transformed from glory to glory. And you want to be around the things of God. Other things don't satisfy you as much. Anyway, I'm not trying to put anything. This is coming. The Holy Spirit is coming afresh for us. And I'm seeing the elements of it all over the nation. My days blend together. Last week and a half ago, I was in Switzerland ministering to people from Germany and Austria and all over. And the week and a half before, I was in Korea, so I don't know where I am. My time clock is blown away. Now, as you come out of Egypt, then you are delivered. You come into your promised land provision. So, and what happened there? Your Jericho fell. You have to take your Jericho for you and your children to experience the blessing of the promised land. And you have to oust the Amorites, the Hittites, the giants that stand on our promises. So you have to be ready to do some battle. And we are therefore prophetically not just observers, not just cheerleaders, though that's good. But we have to pull down strongholds in the nations. We are the church of Jesus Christ. We wield the authority of the name of Jesus. Therefore, as some of the nations are facing ISIS, one of the most demonic terrorist armies to rise up in history, the chief authority that has the authority to pull down that stronghold, it's a demonic thing. It is believers who have to bind that strong, evil, demonic power and say, in the name of Jesus, you can go no further. And we command you to get demonic thing to shrivel. Because it's one of the most vicious things. Churches that have existed, communities that have existed for 2,000 years in Iraq, in Syria, these are the lands of the Bible. This is where Ezekiel was, where Paul was. And in this very place, churches now, after being untouched for 2,000 years, have been blown up. Communities who have been consistently there for 2,000 years have been ousted. So there are things that happening in the kingdom of darkness, but you know that you know. The Bible tells you and me, when the enemy comes, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against him. So the Spirit of the Lord is going to lift a standard. And in this hour of nations' destinies being determined, I want to be right in the middle of what God's doing. How many of you would say, I want to be in the middle of what God's doing? I don't want to miss anything. When God, it says, they shall volunteer freely in the day of his army. By the way, something happened that recently that was such a parable for me. I want you to go to Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5. Remember, it was not until the lamb was slain that they could come out of Egypt. And Jesus is our lamb. So everything is referenced around Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Then we can move on. Well, something recent. How many of you know about the Ebola virus? By the way, many years ago, when the first mention of Ebola came, and they discovered this horrible, incurable disease called hemorrhagic fever or Ebola, There's no cure, and it's one of the most horrendous diseases. The ABC, CBS, NBC, they were all looking for some kind of visual, video of the deepest part of Africa where this Ebola virus was rising. The only people who had a video in the whole United States of that region, I don't know how they found out, but they found out Mahesh and Bani Chavda had gone into this remote place and proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we had to sleep on the most horrendous beds and in this, where rats were climbing over our legs and all that. And whenever I want you to say, I talk about how beautiful Bonnie is, but she is a Texas woman, not afraid of anything. And I would lay hands on 5,000, 6,000 people who were often have the most horrible diseases, and she would be right there laying hands on them, blessing them, hugging them. People who were leprous, people who had the most horrendous diseases, funguses, and she was not afraid. Well, she was my camera person, and she took video. And they found out we were the only ones, as far as they knew, that had the latest video of that region. So when ABC News finally got hold of it for us, they asked if they could use it. I said, yeah, sure. That, when they showed those scenes, they were taken by Bonnie when I was ministering there in Kisangani and all those places. So that's one aspect of Ebola. The other thing I wanted to mention was, you know, the first man that transported a doctor working for Samaritan's Purse, God bless him, and he was a missionary, and they flew him from Africa here, and he was able to recover from Ebola. Then there were several others who have flown here who are dying of Ebola. You know what they did? It's not as well known, because Dr. Kent Brantwell was healed, basically, or recovered from Ebola. He volunteered and gave a gallon of his blood. And each of the other Ebola sufferers got a portion of his serum and started recovering and got healed, because they got the blood of Dr. Kent Brantwell. I wanted you to see today you had a chance to go and get communion, which is the body and the blood of Jesus. And it'll give you a revelation of what the blood of Jesus Christ does for you. We were all born with a kind of Ebola called sin. And it's only the blood of Jesus that has overcome sin and death. And you receive by faith the blood of Jesus. Isn't that awesome? When I saw it, I said, I almost got slain in the spirit, saying, wow, the great physician himself laid down his life. The pure blood of Jesus comes now over us and heals us. And anyone who has not received the blood of Jesus, we are not bigoted or racist when we say, you got to have the blood of Jesus. It is Jesus and Jesus alone who can save you, because he has overcome. And through the blood of Jesus, we are redeemed out of the hand of the devil. Amen? Glory, yeah. Give him a big clap offering. So I want to go. Let's look at Mark chapter 5. I just want to take a few thoughts from there. And at the end, I want to say a prayer and a blessing for you guys for this season. And it says in verse 1, "Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when Jesus had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. He cried out with a loud voice and said, 'What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me.' For he said to him, 'Come out of the man, unclean spirit.' Then he asked him, 'What is your name?' And the demonized man answered, saying, 'My name is Legion, for we are many.' Also he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, 'Send us to the swine that we may enter them.' And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea, drowned in the sea. And then those who owned the swine, they didn't like it. And they came to Jesus and said, 'You better get out of here.' And verse 18, when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, said to him, 'Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you.' And he departed and began to, the delivered man departed, began to proclaim in Decapolis, that's the 10 city centers, 10 areas, all that Jesus had done for him, and all marvel." And I just want us to look at this for a moment. I said, we have to have an opportunity to take our Jerichos, to come into the promised land. There will be an opposition that you will have to be willing to confront, and don't get wimpy, because your promises are there. And the enemy will try to stand before you or your children and say, "Nuh-uh, you can't come further." And you have to say, "That is promised land. It belongs to me. Those blessings belong to me and my children." That's a principle. These things happen for them, for our example, it says. So we learn and take possession. Your blessings are there. So you have come to one level, and God wants to give you the next level. So when we get certain opposition, it may be an infirmity. Doctor can say something about your child, or some challenge about your child, or something. We have a society that is right now permeated with certain things that try to control people and pull them down, whether it is drug addictions like cocaine. I've had to pray for people who have had to been really got themselves under methamphetamines, which is a horrendous addiction that literally eats up the brain tissue inside. Or all kinds of perversions that this society, affirms. There are all kinds of things, and we have to be able to stand and say, You can't take our culture. You can't take possession of our children or our grandchildren. So this story is a model of how Jesus himself modeled for us that we can go into enemy territory and rescue people and see them get delivered and their lives transformed. So when the Holy Spirit, first night I said, when we have an encounter with the living God, it transforms us. What is the transformation? People often ask for anointing and power. But the major thing I see first that I, for me, that's so amazing and wonderful, when the Holy Spirit came, like, I had some amazing experience when I was, I went to my undergraduate work was in Texas, and graduate studies in Plainview, in Wayland Baptist University. Then I went to graduate school at Texas Tech. I was there, I don't know how many of you, some of you are veterans here, so, but I was in the 1970 Lubbock tornado, right in the middle, May 1970, and I'd just come back from the library, and I turned on my little black and white little bitty TV, and it was about 9 o'clock, and around exactly if I remember, 9:30, the lights went off, and I heard a voice, "Get up." It was the weirdest thing. Again, in that little bitty apartment, a voice comes. It's booming. "Get up." Third time. Now, if you have voices, you hear voices, you're weird. If you reply to them, you are really weird. The voice said to me, "Get up." Third time, I said, "I'm tired." I didn't want to get up. Someone that I couldn't see, huge, came and lifted my body where my feet were dangling from the air. Lifted me and put me behind and plunked me down behind this couch. And then I heard the sound of 100 freight trains coming. And everything exploded around me. And every piece of glass and window where the Lubbock tornado hit. May 1970, I remember. That's where the angel of the Lord came and rescued me. And he covered me. I could feel his body draped over me when the glass all around me was splintering. And if I had put my head up, I would have been decapitated. And I still have, I still have a scar here. And for an offering of $500 for Cathedral of Praise, I will let you see it too. Just joking. Anyway, hallelujah. There were a lot of fun things happened in Texas. That's where I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And it's a long story, and I share it in some of my books. But the thing that I remember the most is when the Holy Spirit came and I started singing in tongues. The next day, the thing that I wanted to do more than anything is go embrace people, hug people. I felt so much love. I couldn't hold it. I wanted to hug people. If there were not enough people, there would be telephone poles I could hug. But it's so wonderful to see human beings who can love Jesus. And I'm in awe. It is still that dose that I knew it was not from me. It was from someone else that filled me completely. It was the virtue of pure love that came in. And that's where it equipped me to go. And then the voice told me, go. An open door came to work for the state school for the mentally handicapped. And there was one in Lubbock. I don't know whether he's still there. But hundreds of kids were there that their parents could no longer take care of them. And I got training to work with them. And God said, love these people. And that, it is the, you know, it really is a lot of, there's no control over their bathroom functions, all of that. I had to clean them, do all kinds. But I so loved them. I didn't want to be anywhere else but be with these special kids. And that was not me. That was the Holy Spirit and fire. And God's fire is coming afresh on you and I. That to give us a love that is beyond any comprehension. To love people. Love the unlovely. One of the first things. Bonnie and I, last year I told you, we went about the same time right now to Chicago. And one of the things I felt like the Lord told me, call for all the special needs and handicapped children in the Chicago area and do a special healing service for them. It had never been done. And part of it, and I had absolutely no hesitation. And there were the oddest behaviors. They came. Their parents came. And I laid hands on every one of them. And I knew that love has still not ceased. And God was still doing signs and wonders. And there's a video. I think, I don't know whether we had, but at the end we might show it, of a little girl who went to the school for the blind, handicapped. And the Lord, he gave her eyes right there. I mean, eyesight. Where she was blind. She no longer goes to school of the blind. So God still does the same things. Anyway, here you see in the life of the Gadarene then. He lives in misery, in tombs, night and day, howling, cutting himself, barely clothed. No control over self. No control over his mind, his emotions. Now, this last 2 months, we have had many families fly to come see me in the Charlotte area. And there is manifestation of behaviors that I haven't seen as strongly as it's coming right now, is young girls, teenage girls, brilliant, very sweet, tender, not rebellious, but their parents are finding them where these young girls are cutting themselves. And they are not disobedient. They are smart. They love their mommy and daddy. And yet something drives them to cut themselves. And they knew that this was one of the places that could come and get prayer from me. And so we had people fly from Pennsylvania, from Minnesota, I mean, all over. In the last recent weeks, and I saw certain kinds of attacks come in cycles, that what I saw 15, 20 years ago, that there is a wave of oppression is trying to come again over people. I'm not trying to frighten you. What I'm saying is we got the equipment. We got the anointing to break the yoke. Why will those parents fly their sweethearts of those girls to our place? Because they knew there was something, there was an answer they could have, that we had the Lord's healing authority and deliverance was still flowing, that river. And so this morning, I want to release that over you, that you guys, that you have again a fresh dose of love and compassion, of mercy. But it is with power and anointing that where you go, see, Jesus makes a special trip to deliver. That's what the apostolic community is, a reservoir of love and compassion. But it's activated by the power of the Holy Spirit that can also, in that atmosphere, the oppressive darkness that can enslave people, it's in the midst of this kind of community they will find deliverance and healing. So I just want you to know that there is a fresh wave of glory coming for healing and deliverance. You are going, part of the reason you're going to see it is you're going to see the effect of these attacks on these people. When you see them, don't get wimpy and don't, okay, we just got to take them to counseling. Jesus came across the lake and saw the gathering and say, we need to make an appointment for a counselor. We got to medicate this guy. The guy goes, running around naked, fighting people. Well, just a little bit of counseling will do good. And the church has gone and hidden in caves, saying, we can't, we don't want to handle this. Whereas the Lord has modeled it that God wants to give the anointing to his disciples. As my Father sent me, so send I you. So in this story, I feel I wanted to conclude my time here with you by sharing this story. It is exciting. It is challenging. And yet, as my Father sent me, so send I you. God wants to anoint you the same way the Lord himself was anointed. So we saw many of these people in Pakistan, in Africa. Bonnie was my video person. She is brave. She's awesome. When you see her, some of them, like Bill and Sue, have seen so much. You want to draw. They want, I don't, most time I just sit with you and talk about movies and all that. You got to draw it out, saying, I want to learn. What did you guys see? What, if you're real nice, and give me tamales or chicken fried steak, I will give you some. You got to draw it out. Right now, I just feel like I want to talk about that. So, but there are some fun, Bonnie would see, therefore, we had one time, we have it recorded. This was in 88, 89, something like that. I forget the exact date. And there was several thousand people out there in the line, healing line. Some, the families had brought their family members who had been bound up in chains for 19 years, 20 years. So how long? Chains in 20 years. And when they saw me, they would scream, ah, and run. And I would run after them. And Bonnie has it on me. And I would just touch them, and poof, they would fall. And anyway, this one family, I remember, Bonnie was with me. And she had been, for 19 years, been bound in chains. Because she would, when she got loose, she would cut people with knives. She would go around cut. She was driven. But she was someone's daughter. And she was brought to my, and I touched, and she fell under the power. And stuff came out of her mouth for after a little bit, foamy stuff. The family, four things, invited us the next day to their house. This is in Kinshasa in the Congo. We went. And there was this woman who had been bound, locked up in a special room in chains, serving us tea, and serving hot tea to us, and visiting with her friends who she had not seen for years. Because totally clothed in her right mind. And we saw it over and over. One story that's interesting, since Bill talked about my story, I want to tell you. We had to baptize. There were so many thousands who came to the Lord. We had one night, we had 50,000 make decisions for the Lord. I mean, so the Lord said, baptize them. I said, there's no tank I can go baptize. And I had a few hundred pastors helping me, African pastor. So God said, I put a tank there. I said, I don't know. What tank? The Congo River. So we went. I got permission, it's a long story, because it was not allowed gatherings, because it's a border. There was shootings across. So the general sent their guards with us, machine guns. We baptized. That day we baptized 3,000 people. And we have the names of them. It's not like I'm throwing out a figure. And so that's where I went in first and saw this floating logs. And I said, wow, the logs, we need to put them. And then I said to myself, because one of the logs opened its mouth. That I said to myself, self, these are not logs. These are crocodiles. And the Lord had said, go and baptize. I said, thanks a lot. Yes, go in there with a... So part of your job description, I don't know how many of you want to accept it. Go baptize people in crocodile-infested river. And you say, I think I do not want to apply for that job. The Lord usually sometimes will sign. Sign here. What is it? This is your job description. So, but it's blank. He said, yeah, I'll fill it in later. So whenever you say, well, God, I didn't apply for this. He says, yes, I made you sign a blank paper. I'm still filling it in. So we were baptizing, and there was a woman who had been living in the bush. I mean, she not that clothed, tearing her clothes. She had been living like an animal for several years, running, screaming. I mean, how exactly like the gathering demoniac. And she would, you know, there's a lot of witchcraft, all of the stuff, and generationally and all. So she had lost her mind. And when she saw us doing the baptism, I had about 100 pastors helping me. She ran down. And she thought we were swimming, so she said, I want to swim. I want to swim. And they said, they were way on the other side. The pastor said, we want to swim? Come. So they took her in. She had been living like an animal. People would throw food at her if they wanted to, and she just lived in the bush. So they took her and dunked her and said, we baptize you in the name of Jesus. Didn't ask her. Believe in Jesus. When she came out, she was totally restored. Totally in her right mind. So the conclusion of this story is, God is so much fun. It's so great to serve Him. Anyway, 2 years later, I was taking an Air Congo flight from Mujimai to Kananga. It's all the cities that I had crusades in. And they always, even if it's a 1 hour thing, they'll all serve you snack. That's their custom. So the stewardess came and plunked my tray down and all that. And, you know, Congolese sort of sweet. She looked at me and she said, you recognize me, Pastor? I said, no, I don't know you. She said, I was the woman in that river who got baptized. And God, I was mad. After I got delivered, I got training. I'm working for Congo Airlines. And then she started biting us. No, not really. I'm just... We sometimes get a little bit of deliverance and then more. Anyway, the thing I want to say is that we have broken people all around us. As God wants to anoint us with fire, with the Holy Spirit, God will bring you to divine appointments to people who are hurting. Know that only Jesus can restore the wholeness of a person. Remember this, there no case is too hard for the Lord Jesus. No yoke that cannot be broken by the Lord Jesus Christ. No cancer is able to stand. No demon can stand and harm around the name of Jesus Christ. The Gadarene needed the power of God's deliverance. And when you look at this trip across this lake, you find you will get... It's so exciting to realize that Jesus made this trip through that storm basically to touch one man, this demonized. We would say he's lost. There's a goose. Ignore him. And according to Jesus, there is no one that's not without value. And he went to deliver and set that captive free. We are in a culture and a time frame where there is so much junk running around. The captives need to be set free. And the Lord will anoint his church. That Holy Spirit and fire is for healing and deliverance as well as wholeness for us. It is to be transmitted to others. So, I want to pray. There are in a moment, realize that even Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And often he would say to the people who are oppressed, come out, you unclean spirit. So even though counseling does help, medication does help, in the final analysis, I believe it is believers with the apostolic mantle, with the anointing that can break the yoke. Fresh authorities coming over us again. There are people under the yoke of sexual perversion, drug addiction, all kinds of oppression that cannot get free until servants of God come in the name of Jesus and speak that word. It is not shouting and screaming. Sometimes I find that, well, like these girls that are cutting, they didn't need screaming and shouting. They would have been scared. They needed love first. But you say, well, you can say it quietly. You don't have to scream. But with the anointing, you can say, you oppression, be gone. This is not your home. This was part of the apostolic move across the earth. As God anointed, he told his disciples, in my name, you will cast out evil spirits. You will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I pray now that if you have any shadows, by the way, yourself, of things we go through the journey of life and junk oppresses us. I'm going to say a prayer for you guys that if there are shadows, oppressive things, there are people who get depressions, they get suicidal thoughts, they get, they're driven by appetites that really not appropriate. And you know, and you say, this is not me. I just want you to know there is cleansing in the name of Jesus. There is deliverance in the name of Jesus. This is not just a religious thing. I told you some stories just to let you know this is happening in this hour. Jesus truly came to set the captives free. But we are living in a culture that's challenging. So, and once you get delivered, you tell the people. That's why the loving community is there. You say to the people, you don't go back to the old companions. The delivered men no longer went back to his those caves and things. He went back as an evangelist. Amazing. Here is the most demonized man, one of the most becomes one of the most powerful evangelists for Jesus. And there are people out there waiting to be delivered who are going to bring glory to the name of Jesus. And so the delivered people have a need, a place where they can hang out with those who have been, who love the Lord, who worship. That's why the atmosphere worship is for a place where it's a sanctuary where people who are recovering can get zapped and mantled. So remember the great story today, the delivered man, the gathering demoniac. But it's not just about the delivered man, but it's about the deliverer. His name is Jesus. And remember, he crossed over just for that. And I want you to know, he would cross over lakes and oceans just for you. That's the love of Jesus Christ. I want you to get an impartation that you will see something in every person and be anointed today to set the captives free. I'm going to ask Bill if you, I want to say a prayer for you. Bill had asked if we can take an opportunity to take an offering. And go ahead.
Yeah, and by the way, we're going to have baptism next Sunday morning here. And anyone here have any baby crocodiles we could borrow? But, wow, that was good. I think I got delivered.
I was hoping.
I know I will be for sure after the prayer. If you would prepare your offering this morning, if those can give, and we bless that offering, and God multiply the seed that you sow. Everyone kind of come, and if you would, just use these blue buckets, make your checks out to COP. If you have an envelope, just you can bring it up right now. If you need an envelope, lift up your hand, but I think most of you have them. Thank you on behalf of Mahesh for your faithful sowing. Every year we want to bless his ministry. Christmas time.
Thank you.
Amen. Your family, we love you.
Come on now,
let's bring our offering. More people participate. Dig deep. If you need some money, Jack will give you some to give. And I've got some here too. Bring a change of clothes next week if you're going to be baptized in a towel.
I love baptism. It's a lot of things happen. I've seen people who had been oppressed, depressed for years, and when they go through the water of baptism, deliverance comes. You don't even have to pray. It's like deliverance happens sometimes right in the waters of baptism. Well, the picture is the children of Israel is escaping Pharaoh. Pharaoh wants to kill him, and it's not until they went through the Red Sea they were baptized unto Moses in the sea, the cloud and in the sea, and then the Egyptians can no longer chase them. So, hallelujah. Amen. All right. How many is 10? I began by talking about the blood, one of the things I mentioned. And that's one of the most powerful agents we're going to apply today. If there are shadows, say, I call them shadows. They're not real, they're entities. And it would take me 6 hours just to teach on demonic things. We have, by the way, all kinds of material on the web to tell you with all these fun stories of what we saw. Jesus said, go back and report what you see. The blind receive sight, the cripples walk, the dead are raised. Blessed is he who is not offended at me. It's weird. People would get offended even at Jesus. But I know you are hungry for more. How many of you would like to help set the captives free? How many of you like the Lord to use you? Amen. Let's all put our hands up. And then some, if junk is oppressing you mentally, spiritually, if there is a bad habit, some of these are demonic shadows. They have to go in the name of Jesus. You don't have to be oppressed. Some, it's severe depression. Sometimes it's coming down in your family line. We're going to break it in the name of Jesus, and you're going to get delivered. Tell your neighbor, you're going to get delivered. That does not mean, we have often said as if, ooh, I've done something. No, all of us. I've prayed for some of the greatest ministries out there. You may have seen them on TV. And junk tries to hurt, come over them or their children. Your hands raised. Say, Father, I give praise to the name of Jesus. I proclaim through the blood of Jesus, I am redeemed out of the hand of the devil. Through the blood of Jesus, all my sins are forgiven. The chains of family curses are broken through the blood of Jesus. Lord, you know any dark shadow that oppresses me or my family. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over every dark shadow, every spirit of depression, every oppressive habit. And I command all these things to line up and leave in Jesus' name. You don't belong here. Go where Jesus sends you. Through the blood. Through his name. I am free. I thank you. I break the power of witchcraft, of curses transferred, oppressions that I have opened the door to. I shut the door and command those things to go from me and my family in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that you came to set the captives free this day. I declare through the mighty name of Jesus, I am set free. I will worship the King of glory. I am free in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Now fill me. Any blank spaces, come, Holy Spirit, and fill these areas. In the name of Jesus. Now take a deep breath. Breathe in the Holy Spirit. By faith, breathe in his refreshing love. Breathe in his acceptance. Breathe in his spirit of healing. Hallelujah. Say, I am free. In Jesus' name. Now give him a big clap offering. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Give him a big shout. And you see all these models in the scriptures. And when they are delivered from Egypt, you see Miriam, the prophetess, leading them in the one of the biggest praise worship things, gatherings, about 2.5 million people praising God and women dancing before the Lord. The praise, therefore, is what you do when you are set free. So the rest of the day, if you have time, whenever you can, praise him, praise him. I used to carry, we did this last year for a few weeks, Bonnie and I for a few months, is we had a little gadget. I forget now what the name of it is. You can look it up. And it would beep me every 10 minutes. And I would turn it off at night. But when the beep went off, that was a trigger for Bonnie and I. Praise you, Jesus. And we had a competition who would shout the loudest. Of course, she would beat me every time. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. But just think, every 10 minutes in the waking hours, we were praising. Now, it was not loud. It would just brrr. I would know it was beeping. So if I was with people, I would inside say, thank you, Lord. I worship you, Lord. But you train yourself because you get out of training of praising, thanking, and worshiping. So get a gadget, especially if your husband is kind of morose looking or something and gets the thing. Buy him one of that for Christmas. It'll beep. You can look up on our web. Maybe we'll, I think I need to put it up there and say, this is the gadget. I don't get a profit, but we learn. And the more, if you have a diagnosis of something, I would recommend that you get one of these and start praising him consistently. Every 10, 15 minutes, worship and thank him. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. It's been a joy to be with you.